Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team. Hi, welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm your co-host, Colin Stewart. Today, I am joined by our very first sales professor for B2B startups. We're going to talk a little bit about cold calling and, most importantly, how do you nail the first 30 seconds, that sort of introduction? How do you get somebody to not hang up on you and actually turn more of these dials into booked meetings? Rex, welcome to the show. Everybody meet Rex Biberston. He is the sales professor at rexb.co. And we'll give you that domain a little bit later because Rex has got a cool takeaway for us. But welcome to the show, Rex.
Yeah, thanks, Colin. I'm excited to be on it.
Thanks, man. Excited to have you here. This is a treat because you actually started your life as a BDR for InsideSales.com. So obviously, you know all of the tricks and all of the research, which we love.
Yeah.
Then you made the transition to running your own outsourced cold calling agency.
Yep.
And then you, left the dark side, went to the dark side, became a CRO.
Yep.
And then sort of came full circle, and now you're doing sales consulting around building sales processes.
Yeah. I've always been the guy who taught people. So whether it was as a BDR at Inside Sales, where people are asking for my email templates, or sharing some advice with my team at OutsourceSales.com, kind of always been teaching. So that's why we went for the sales professor idea there.
Very cool. Yeah. So today, you're obviously a man with lots of experience on the phone. And so today what we're hoping to learn is, your process for setting that first, getting prospects on the line and getting them to not hang up with you, up on you. And you've got a bit of a process. Do you want to start by showing off that, that diagram, or do we want to just go from?
No, you know what? I'll be sure to share all the information after the show. We'll include it in the notes. But the diagram itself, it's usually more useful if we talk about it. The diagram's just kind of very high level bullet point stuff. To give you an idea of it, it's basic pre-call research. If you're doing more account-based stuff, it's an introduction, giving a value proposition, getting permission. And that's right about where everybody screws up. So, we're at least going to get to there in the conversation today. Then we dive into asking questions with good leading statements so you actually can guide the conversation down the right path. Asking qualifying questions, finding hot buttons, that sort of stuff. But it's at the very beginning, the very first thing you say on the phone, then the next thing, then the next thing, and then usually it's a click. Usually it's, I'm busy, call me back later. So that's kind of where I see most people failing in the very beginning, and that's why they hate cold calling. That's why they think it doesn't work. That's why everybody's talking about how dead it is. Whatever, let's talk about how to make it work.
Cool. And just for those skeptics that are still out there. So Rex and I, we did our pre-interview a week ago, earlier today. I don't know. I'm on entrepreneur time. It's just all a bit of a blur.
Every day is the same day, man.
Yeah. We've got an SDR that's week three, maybe week four tops. We took the things that Rex had showed me and we had him on the phones booking, I think he booked three or four meetings using, basically what you explained to me in a 20-30 minute conversation.
Yeah, there you go. It works really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're going to, in the episode here, we're going to go a little bit deeper on some of the things, because obviously that was really high level and you just sort of shared your outline.
Yeah.
But I just want to give you an idea of the power of, this is something that actually works. We've got a guy, if you're curious, just email him, Peter. Hey, Peter at PR, or not PR, predictablerevenue.com and ask him, hey, did this work for you?
Good. Peter owes me his commission check. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Totally.
Good deal.
Great. So let's talk about where does it start? You're talking pre-call research. What does that mean to you? How much of this do you do? How long do you spend?
Yeah. So I'll say this is obviously because it's before a call, it's the easiest thing in the world. It's where every BDR or SDR or ADR or whatever you want to call them, everybody starts there and they think, I'm going to do a really great job. I'm going to do tons of research. I'm going to really figure these guys out. And then they make the call and nobody's there. Okay, well then it wasn't really worth doing 35 minutes of research, was it? You didn't get a hold of anybody. Yeah, but I put that in there and then tomorrow you're gonna call them. Yeah, but how many times does it really take to get a hold of them? 10 to 12 times, 15 times, 20 times their CEO, high level, you're selling mid-market or above. So pre-call research for me is basically pulling up the company's website, pulling up maybe, any Google news on them. If you're doing more account-based stuff, definitely having some tracking on that to figure out, has anything happened to them recently? And then, just pulling up the person's LinkedIn profile, because you're obviously in B2B, we're selling to a person and to a company. So at the same time, you need to know some information about both. So if you have a good idea of who your target market is, you can really quickly get the high level. Okay, here's about how big they are. Here's maybe some of the pains they're probably experiencing. Oh, and you know, she went to school at BYU like I did. Great, I can mention the Cougars. I'm going to bring that up at some point, maybe not in my intro, but you know, I'll just put a couple of those things down in the account notes. If I spend more than 3 to 5 minutes, I've wasted a ton of time. And I've also been experimenting with tools like Connect and Sell, where there's absolutely zero pre-call research. I've had tons of success setting a lot of meetings because it's more about, can I get on the phone with somebody than can I get on the phone with the right information ahead of time? Because I'm pretty good at having a conversation with people and getting to the point where I know what their real pain is. I don't necessarily have to know that ahead of time. So that's where we get lost in the weeds a ton, is just doing a lot of pre-call research, thinking that's going to save us if we're bad at having phone calls.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So what's the most you'll like time you'll allow yourself to have?
5 minutes. I mean, if I'm going pretty specific, 5 minutes. Like if I know, okay, here's somebody who I got referred in by so-and-so, they said, yeah, you know, this is a really great lady. She knows what she's doing, but be sure you know X, Y, and Z. Great. I'm going to go do a little bit more research. I'm going to get pretty specific.
Totally.
5 minutes though. If you're spending more than that, how many calls can you make in a day? How many conversations can you have? It's not just about volume. It's obviously about quality, but at a certain point, having two conversations a day just isn't going to cut it.
Totally. So talk to me about, just let's digress a little bit. Talk to me about volume in terms of like, what does your day look like, or an ideal day look like as a cold caller?
Yeah, it's funny. I do consulting for a lot of different kinds of companies, and for each one of them, it totally depends. And I know that's like the consultant's favorite answer, right? Is, oh, it depends.
Yeah. No, that means it's going to cost you.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to cost you a lot more. No, this is a billable hour. Yeah. No, so, you know, it really does depend on the target market, the product and service. And, you know, Chris Beal, my friend at Connect and Sell, would probably say it doesn't depend on anything. Just get people on the phone all the time. And to some degree, I totally agree. Like, experiment all you want, but you have to have a certain number of conversations to get a hold of somebody. You know, I'm actually experimenting with a new stack where we source some data, we'll send out a couple of emails, and then we'll use Connect and Sell on top of that to contact afterwards and just kind of follow up on the email, have that conversation. Mm-hmm. But I've gone the other way as well and done a ton of cold calling. And every time somebody said, call me back, or I'm interested in a little bit more information, you send that email, you get a much, much higher click-through rate, much, much higher open rate to begin with. So, you know, it depends. I'd say in all things, experiment. In all things, figure it out through trial and error.
Okay. I'm going to push you here though.
Yeah, go for it.
So let's talk about some ranges of like number of calls. Like if you're doing, you know, 5 minutes on the of research, and then the call itself is 2 minutes.
Yep.
Let's leave another minute or two to get to the next one.
Sure.
Right. So you're, how many calls you make in an hour then, you know?
It's okay. Like, so that's supposing that it's a net new list, right? Because if you're doing research on every single one of your leads, you are wasting a ton of time. You should be putting in the account notes or in the contact record notes, you should be putting the research you previously done. And if you're calling on a new lead every single time, oh my gosh, somebody let you use the same lead twice. Like, come on. So you should be calling on these same people, you know, multiple times within a given time period, let's say a month. Calling them 10, 12 times to get a hold of them. So I would say if you're not making 65 to 85 dials a day and your primary method of communication is the phone, then you're really not going to have enough conversations. Now, tools like InsideSales.com, I was making on average as a BDR there, I was making 120 dials a day for the first little while, then adding more email, less phone calls, still staying around 85. Because at a certain point, you still got to go on the phone. You really need to talk to them. So I'd say, yeah, over 50, please. If you're not doing more than that, you know, you're probably doing something different than what I generally would recommend. It's not necessarily true that you're doing it wrong. You know, I'm trying to be careful here because there are people who will get hugely offended by this. But it's also true that you need to have an actual conversation with most of them before you can set an appointment or, you know, go to next steps. I think a lot of people would be excited to set appointments over email all day long. I know I was. It's one of the biggest mistakes. I talked about it on another interview I did with my friend Socket. You know, I would love to just set appointments over email. I was a writer in college. I was an English major. I would love to just send beautifully crafted emails that always make it through past that barrier. There's no gatekeeper stopping me. That'd be great. But how do I really know what they need? How do I really know what they want? How do I really know how best to help them or if I can help them at all?
Mm-hmm.
Generally phone call.
It's funny. We've got, I love the podcast because we get divergent opinions all the time. Like we had, I think the episode just went live in my time. So probably a few weeks, if you're listening to this a few weeks ago, look for Jake Biscar from Rainforest QA. And he was talking about, you know, how basically relying on email only is irresponsible just because of all of the variables.
Yeah.
Then on the flip side, if you go back another couple pages in the podcast, we're going to get to Ryan O'Hara from Lead IQ.
Yeah.
And he's talking about how his reps don't cold call because they don't have to. And the guys get like 20 to 30% response rates. So like,
really? Yeah, that's fascinating.
It's a mix, right? And then we had, you know, one of the most downloaded episodes, John Parisi walks us through, he's at GuideSpark. He walked through their whole basically RDR, SDR, they call them RDR, walked through their whole playbook.
Yeah.
It's a beastly episode. But it was just so much value. I just sort of sat back and went like, okay, John, like educate us, please.
Sure.
It was a great episode. And he's same as you. I think their call numbers are definitely up there. They're doing a mix of email and calling, but he's like, you got to be on the phones. You know, if you're not using the phone, it's irresponsible. They're just further proof that there is really no right answer. It is all contextual. I just like to get a sense for like, what is your feeling?
Yeah. And it really depends on your target market too. So I'll tell you one thing. I was recently, when I was the chief revenue officer at BusinessSure, right? We built out a sales process that originally I was testing heavily email followed up with phone calls. Guess what? Insurance agency owners, the people we were targeting, generally over 50, 55 years old, they suck at opening email. Like, tell me that you can use email to get 20 to 30 response rate, you know, percent response rate.
Mm-hmm. You just do
I will pay you $1 million a day to get that done, you know, because it was such a pain trying to get them to even open the emails. Let's try different subject lines. And we were testing everything. We were going very custom, no customization. Mm-hmm. And you know what? They don't check their email that often.
They
respect the phone call.
Forward, 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 forward.
That's
and then
right.
Like funny.gif.
Yeah.
That's how you get them.
Well, the only way, just write free money at the top. That's it.
Oh, which, yeah.
They're sure to open. It'll definitely make it past the spam filter.
Oh, absolutely. And make sure you put a bunch of dollar signs and then like Viagra in your, just
that's
the
keyword right.
in your signature. Yeah, free Viagra. Yeah.
That's right. It'll always make it past the filter.
All right. So coming back from us digressing from what your day looks like. So the short answer is you got to be making at least 50 calls, but ideally you're probably in that 85 to plus range, depending on what you're.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. So we've got our pre-call research. You're doing that. You're nailing that in 5 minutes. The calls are taking roughly 2 minutes. What's the next step? So you've done your pre-call research. What comes next?
Yeah. Say hello. So it's literally the introduction. I mean, it seems so silly, but you know, I used to sell door to door. I sold alarms and I had a friend who can confirm that he did the exact same thing selling door to door, doing pest control, but we both memorized our script to the point that we knew if we talked to a certain number of people in a day, we were going to have a certain number of sales. Like it was just a guarantee. And so I highly recommend using a scripted introduction. And I don't mean a scripted entire call because it's literally impossible. If you're listening at all to the prospect, you will get hung up on if you don't. So I'm suggesting that if I say, hi, this is Rex with company name, how's it going? I use that every single time until I figure out that that doesn't work. If I'm calling on New York, I never ask, how's it going? For some reason, you know, East Coast, well, Northeast, those guys just did not like when I called on them and said, how's it going? They felt like maybe I was being disingenuous. If I called on Texas, maybe I'd say, how y'all doing? You know, you gotta be a little careful making sure that you are genuine. I got family out in Texas, so I can use the y'all.
As the Canadian, I cannot pull that off.
That's right.
How y'all doing, eh?
How y'all doing, eh?
What is going on?
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So you got to be a little bit careful there, right? You want to be genuine, but you need to be consistent because you won't know where your failure point is, right? In kind of our pre-meeting, you and I were talking a lot about this. If you aren't testing things consistently, if you don't use the same introduction and for some reason they hang up on you later, you don't know what reason that is. You don't know if it was, well, I got as far as the introduction every single time. And because it was a consistent introduction, I know I failed there. Or, hey, I got all the way to, you know, a leading statement with a great question and I failed there. Okay, change the question. But if I screwed up at the very introduction, you know, because I used a different one, well, I don't really know how to fix that. I don't know how to improve. And I'm a guy who loves constant improvement. Mm-hmm. I love experimenting with the process, with the wording of everything. So, yeah, when I say introduction, I literally mean it's that important that you write it down. You say, you know, hey, this is Rex with, let's say, BusinessSure. How's it going? And I say that every single time. Every single person I talk to. Does that make sense?
Gotcha. Oh, 100%. Yeah. If you were, I mean, it's the scientific method. You isolate one variable at a time.
You can't do two, can't do five. Yeah.
No, this is not multivariate testing. We're not making a million calls, right? We need to get something statistically significant. And in order to do that, you got to just change one thing, which means, you're going to have to script some things.
Well, and I learned this at InsideSales.com. I was a struggling, you know, BDR my first week there because I'd never made a cold call like this in my life. I was a B2C sales guy. And I figured out, wait a second. Okay, how am I saying the introduction? I get stuck there sometimes. Okay, so write it down. The next day, I'd say, well, how many of my calls got past introduction? Okay, so I'm pretty good on introduction. All right, where'd they get stuck? Probably that first question. Maybe I sound a little bit clunky on how I'm explaining it. People often ask me, sorry, what is it you do? Okay, so that's where I'm screwing up. I got to rewrite that. And so from memory, I would try and write out my script. And if I couldn't remember it or it sounded smoother the way I wrote it that time, I'd say, all right, that's my new script today. I'm going to try it out. And you'd have to have a lot of conversations to get to the point where you're really sure if it was working or not, or if it's just you that minute, or if it's just the prospect having a bad day. But if you're testing over and over again, you really can't get to the point where like your script is pretty darn predictable. Mm-hmm. You can pretty much be certain if you talk to a certain number of people today, you're going to get a certain number of appointments.
50 to 85 a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Totally. So we've got the pre-call research, you script your intro.
Yeah.
What's the next step?
So this is where you're going to want to explain why you called. So let's call it the value proposition, right? So the explanation of what you're going to do for that prospect or what you propose to do for your client base. And then you're going to need to get permission. So, you know, when I was at BusinessSure, I'd say, hey, this is Rex with BusinessSure. How's it going? Great. I want to see if what we do here to triple new producer, you know, premiums or triple growth with your new producers can help your team there. Did I catch you with 2 minutes? So I'm being very specific about what I do. I'm actually saying results that I expect to achieve for my clients, saying, you know, I wanted to see if this was a fit for you. So I'm not saying I know this is a fit for you. I'm not, you know, presupposing too much, but I'm kind of assuming that it is because I'm using language that matches kind of their style. Mm-hmm. And then I'm asking for permission to continue the conversation. I think this is where a lot of us, we don't explain very clearly, or we explain from way too high a level or way too technical a level. This is where we get stuck really badly. Think of it as when somebody lands on your webpage, we talk a lot about this in marketing too. When they land on your webpage, what is it you want them to see? Your value proposition? What are you going to do for them? So at BusinessSure, you know, we help you write and retain more commercial insurance. Write and retain is the way they talk. Commercial insurance, because we didn't work with personal lines. There you go. It's very specific. It was just enough to give them, okay, is this something I care about enough to give them 2 minutes?
I like it. And also you're dropping in there that we only deal with commercial agents, right? So if they're like, oh, you know what? We only do personal. They self-select out.
Oh man.
That's music to my ears as somebody who's made probably not as many cold calls as you, but man, isn't that great when they're like, actually, you know what? We're not a good fit because we don't do X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, oh, thank you for being upfront and not just catching my call.
Well, it's really hard when you get 2 minutes into your pitch and they're like, oh, did you say it's just for commercial insurance agents? Oh, sorry. We only do personal lines here. It's like, oh, geez. I just wrote that down as a deal. I was definitely going to close this month. Oh man.
I was so I've already excited. Forecasted your revenue.
Oh, I put in, I just sent an email. We were talking to my CEO. I was so excited about this deal. And you guys just do personalized. You're kidding me.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that you can do there wrong and a lot of ways we can go right. So one of the things I mentioned is that we use the language that they speak. So if you know that you're working with a particular industry or type of buyer, use the kind of conversation or have the kind of conversation, use the kind of language that they use. So again, I was an English major in college. News writing, totally different than marketing writing, right? So the way that we speak needs to match our audience. If we're talking tech, with a generation who doesn't work with tech nearly as much, it's going to get really confusing to them. And we need to give them a reason to continue the conversation. That's really it. At this point, you're just giving them enough to say, I got 2 minutes. Okay, sure. I think we talked about how Connect and Sell says 37 seconds, you know, to explain this breakthrough. That's one of their pitches, which I really like, you know, for them, they can do that. They have a very big kind of a breakthrough technology. It depends a little bit on your style. I'm not the guy who can say 37 seconds and sound genuine. So I use 2 minutes. I'm very casual. I try and be very conversational over the phone. Like, hey, no pressure. But this is definitely going to benefit you because I clearly told you why I called. Mm-hmm.
So we nailed the intro.
Yeah.
We very quickly described why the reason that we're calling and like in the value prop. Now we're asking for permission. Did I catch you with 2 minutes? We're getting very specific. It's not, hey, do you have time to talk? Not, did I catch you at a good time? Not, did I catch you at a bad time? Did I catch you with 2 minutes specifically?
Yeah. So, you know, did I catch you with time to talk or do you have time to talk? Well, if my mom calls, I'm going to talk to my mom for half an hour. But if some guy calls me out of the blue to try and sell me a service, I might have 2 minutes, but I don't have half an hour. Mm-hmm. So be a little more specific. You know, if you ask for 5 minutes, maybe it's too much. But again, this is where personality comes in. Testing, test it over and over again. This is where once you've nailed your intro, now you want to be sure that you're figuring out, okay, is it really 2 minutes? Does 2 minutes make sense? And am I being honest? Because they will catch you on that. You know, I've used to sell, I've always sold to salespeople or VPs of sales or CEOs. And it's always been, all right, you've got 2 minutes, go. You know, it's almost like they have an egg timer. And if I go past 2 minutes, I'm a liar and they're not going to do business with me. And I respect that. They deserve to be told the truth. You know, they need to hear the truth from you. So if you're going to take 5 minutes, ask them if they've got 5 minutes or if it's better if you follow up another day. But if you really can do it in 2 minutes, which you should be able to do, ask for 2 minutes. It's, you know, that's my style. So figure it out for yourself. Try it out. Test it. Did you, is that what you did with your guy? Did you do 2 minutes?
Yeah. I've always been, did I catch it a bad time? Because everybody always says yes, but you know what? Go ahead. Right.
Because if you've
done enough to spark that interest,
sure.
You know, they're like, and it gives them the out, be like, to just say, hey, you know what? You did catch me at a bad time. Be like, great. Does this sound interesting enough to reschedule?
Get your permission to call back. Yeah,
exactly. And they're like, yeah, give me a call back. And it's like, okay, well, when? And by the time you've asked them like 3 or 4 questions, you've got your 2 minutes anyway.
Yeah.
You've got the call booked, which was, but I mean, that's obviously like the Christmas special where, you know, everything happens to go right. There's obviously times where they're like, you know, where it doesn't go well. But when we tried it out internally here, it seemed to be working well.
Yeah.
Obviously sample size, not big enough to be like, it's better than the other one's better or not, you know?
But, and you can never really say that, right? You can never be 100% accurate 100% of the time and say that something is better. It's just not always true.
Because even if I sat down next to our reps, like CEO versus like week 4 SDR, like I've been in sales for like B2B sales for 12, 13 years now.
Yeah.
And like, of course I'm going to do better. So if I'm using one script, like it's not unfair. Yeah.
Well, and you'll notice with your level of experience, I've done this, I've done head-to-head contests with my people before. You'll notice that you don't stay on script for very long or that you don't use a script at all, but you know the market so well, or you know the language so well, or you know how to have a conversation with an executive so well, because you've been one. It's totally different than an SDR. And so we're talking about the basics here for an SDR who doesn't know what they're doing or who has pretty good experience, but really wants to see their conversion rates increase over the phone. That's where this applies. You know, for somebody who's got a lot more experience, you're going to go on the fly all the time. I know it.
Hey, but I think there's still a ton of value in like scripting the first couple of parts, because it doesn't matter if you're a CEO, a VP, an SDR, you know, or the mailman. If they hang up on you, it doesn't matter how much experience you have, they still hung up on you, right? Yep. So you definitely have to spark their interest.
Yeah, it's interesting. I wish I had written down. So back when I was in inside sales, Dave Elkington, who's the CEO, did a cold calling contest against, I think, the inbound SDR team. And he did really well because he's awesome. He knows his product better than anybody on the face of the planet. But I wish I had written down what is it that he's saying, because I know he didn't go off some standardized script of just qualifying them to a certain extent. You know, he's got the level that he can talk to them about their real pains and they know he knows what he's talking about.
So. Yeah. I'm like founder CEO here. I sit down next to our SDR and sales team and I don't shadow them on every, on many calls. I do shadow them some when you like coaching hours and things like that, but I can just sit and I'll hear things and be like, oh, okay, let's see how it, like, I know a question that they're at, that the prospect just asked. I'm like, well, let's see how he's going to write it, how he's going to handle it. And I'll just take notes on a post-it. And then after the call, we'll sort of like, you know, do some coaching on like, hey, here's a little tidbit that worked for me. And obviously something that works for me is not going to work for you contextually, but just that way, you know, building and sharing the knowledge.
Well, I think something important that you mentioned there too, that too few sales leaders understand is, well, true sales leaders always understand this principle, but that what works for you doesn't necessarily work for everyone. And so you do need to allow people some level of flexibility. Mm-hmm. Like if you say, it's funny, I had a manager one time tell me, hey, here's your script. As a new rep, here's your script. here's everything you're going to say. Don't ever vary your script. Don't ever change. That's insane. The two of us are not the same people. We will not get the same results doing the same things. And if you think we will, you're wrong. I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just that ability to be flexible with a little bit of this. And that's, again, where you can get your rep to actually test it and figure it out and figure out what works best for them.
Totally. Because, I mean, that's the one thing that really separates a salesperson from the website is the salesperson can tailor the conversation to, you know, what your needs are. And you know, websites are catching up. They're getting better, but they're never going to be. I still don't think, as somebody that plays with a lot of technology, I think it's, we're still quite a ways away from having something that's really, truly great in that. And if anybody's listening that's out there,
that's a whole episode right there. I guarantee you're going to get 5 calls on that.
I hope so. My email is colin@predictablerevenue.com. If you got something that's working and you're building something, like, let's chat. I'd love to.
But if you're building it and your robot doesn't call Colin, you're doing it wrong. Okay. Totally. He's not going to buy if you don't get the AI machine to call.
Your robot is so fired. He gets no electrons this month.
That's right.
So we've nailed the intro. We scripted our intro. We got the, we asked for 2 minutes. They're like, yep, you got 2 minutes, go.
Okay.
Egg timer is running, Rex.
Yeah. So you need to give them a little bit more explanation around what it is that you offer them, right? So from a high level, let's say BizAssure is a company that offers professional services for insurance agencies. Great. What the heck does that mean? We used to get that question all the time. So it's, you know, here's what we do for your policyholders. Here's what we do for you. Again, using their language. So policyholders, it's like, okay, they get more and more comfortable with you over the phone. Breaking down kind of some of the examples. And this is where you can really get into trouble by going too technical, too deep. Again, so it's, let's say 30,000 foot view is your value prop. You're like 15,000 feet here. You're not, you know, microscopic level. You still don't want to give them everything, because you need to lead this into a conversation. And this is one of the rules that I talk about a lot with sales reps is if you're doing more than 50% of the talking, you're doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. If you don't get them to ask things back, to tell you information, to give you something in return, they're just waiting to hang up on you and they're being polite. You're probably calling Southern America, like this in the South, they're super nice. They'll let you talk and talk and talk. Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks. Boop. And that's it. You know, maybe in New York, they wouldn't give you 4 seconds, but you're doing something wrong.
So you're saying when I ask for 2 minutes to talk, it's not 2 minutes for just me to talk. I have to let them talk as well.
Yeah. So you're essentially asking for 2 minutes to have a conversation. And if you can't figure out in 2 minutes, whether or not they're interested in going further than 2 minutes, and they'll tell you if on that call, they don't want to hang up with you, they'll ask you more questions. Well, that's permission to go beyond 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. If you go 2 minutes, they didn't really ask anything. Well, now you better ask for the appointment or move on, you know, because you're really not going to get anywhere. You're allowed to go beyond 2 minutes if they're asking you for the time, if they're giving you kind of the feedback there.
Totally. I was just being a little bit facetious about, I have been that rep that called like, hey, can I have 2 minutes? Like, great. Now I'm going to talk for 2 minutes.
Yep.
Go. And so when we're talking about this pitch, can you give me an example and share like how long is this pitch and how do you sort of twist that into getting them to talk?
Yeah. So you have to use the pitch in a way that it can lead to a question, right? So, you know, if we were talking about BizAssure, we might explain, okay, so what we do for your policyholders is help save them anywhere from 10 to 20% of their premium costs. So these are all, again, things they understand. So like, saving my clients money. I like that. And what that does is help you. So again, relating it back to them directly and as quickly as possible, it helps you to stand out as the obvious choice in every sales or renewal scenario. So obviously at this point in time, we're living in a world. So this is how I would explain it, kind of transition. Okay, here's what we do. And now we're living in a world where that really matters because everyone has access to the same insurance markets. They have the same products, the same services at the same prices. And this would actually make you stand out as unique. Now, what are you guys doing today to help your people stand out? And they always want to say something. They are not going to say, no, thank you. At that point, they're hooked. They've got to tell you, well, you know, and if they're being honest, and if you've been really good at building rapport, you sound really good, they like the way you're talking, they're going to be honest with you, and they'll probably tell you a little bit of something. If they're still being tough, this is a good way to gauge, is when you're asking this question, they say, we do a ton, we're investing every day for our reps. Oh, that's awesome. You know, some of the things I've seen are X, Y, and Z. Are you guys have any of that? Or if you look at their website while you're talking to them, like, oh, hey, I noticed that you have one of our competitors, such as X, Y, or Z. That's great. How are you guys using that today? So it's, again, it's getting them to give you more feedback to qualify them, get them interested, prove that you know what the heck you're doing so they want to keep talking to you. So it's really, it's explain it, kind of give them the full pitch there, and then transition it into a question. So, and I use what I call a leading statement. Well, everybody calls them this, a leading statement before the question, yeah. So that I can kind of guide the question. If I just say, hey, what are you doing today to help your reps stand out? Oh, well, we buy them pink ties so that every time they go to a meeting, they've got these beautiful pink ties and people see them. It's called peacocking. Have you ever heard of it? Oh yeah, it works great. Fantastic. Anyway, so what business sure does, well, that doesn't really transition well, does it? And they don't really care about your product or service now because you're talking about pink ties. So again, using that leading statement of, hey, you know, in today's marketplace, you guys are really fighting for new business because of X, Y, and Z. How's that playing out for you guys? And then they have somewhere to go with the answer to that question that's clearly going to lead to you explaining the value of your service further.
I like it. So I love how you're using that sort of, you prime them of like, this is what we're talking about, mm-hmm. right? Here's the sort of pain that we're, this is the direction this conversation is going. Mm-hmm. And then you hit them up with the open-ended question. How's that working out for you? How are you using that?
Yeah. Or what are you guys doing today to solve that same problem? Right. You know, you'll see in the little, the thing that I'm letting people download who listen to the show, you'll be able to see there's a few examples in there of exactly how that works, but it's really, really helpful if you use the leading statement. It will guide the conversation. And again, it proves that you know what you're talking about. Like, you know, the condition of the marketplace today, or you know, pains that similar people to them are suffering and you can actually help them. So they want to continue that conversation.
That's great.
Yeah, I'll give you one example of where I failed at this though, right? So it's kind of fun to learn from our failures. InsideSales.com, I asked the question, I used to hear a lot of other BDRs asking the same question. You know, they would say it differently than I would because I was a little more formal. They'd say like, if you could wave a magic wand, I'd say if you could snap your fingers and change any part of your sales process tomorrow or double any of your numbers in your sales process tomorrow, what would they be? You know, it's like, okay, well, sales process, okay, we're generally talking, but what if they said leads? I need more leads. Mm-hmm. Whoops, we don't help you with that. I'm so sorry. You know, well, I wish you the best of luck. We have some partners who can help you. And anyway, I didn't get that appointment. So the leading statement would have helped a lot there to say, you know, I noticed that a lot of the VPs of sales that I talked to today are struggling with X, Y, and Z. How are you guys addressing that issue today in your sales process? That would go so much better. It's like a natural lead into talking about your service versus like, boy, any part of my sales process, I'd probably have less stupid sales reps. They'd probably close more. Like, oh, geez. Okay. Well, I can't help you there either. You know?
Yeah. You can tell that, sorry, I've known that I'm doing this wrong. When you ask them the question and they go, and they sort of look up to this guy and they're like, oh, you've asked them too big of a question. Uh-huh. And now they're considering all of the options.
Oh yeah.
And it's not the one that you want them to consider, right? Yep. We're not doing our job to frame up, okay, this is the piece of your business that we want to talk about. Cause we don't want to talk about everything. We only asked for 2 minutes. We just want to talk about this one little slice.
Yeah. So yeah. It's getting confusing more and more as we kind of group products and services together, as more competitors show up. It's like, okay, well, sales acceleration, what part of your sales process would you accelerate? Golly, there's like 4,000 things that are sales acceleration. Like my electronic signature, you know, program that I use to sign documents is sales acceleration. Is it really? Well, then talk specifically about the tail end of the sale. I mean, really tailor that pitch. Mm-hmm. And that applies to so many different things. I mean, we're beating a dead horse here, but really it's critical. Use the leading statement before the question if you don't want the conversation to go haywire.
Totally. I can't stress how many times I have got this wrong.
We all have, man. It's especially off the cuff. If you don't have any questions prepared, and I think this is another critical thing, right? I script everything. I've got like sticky notes, not physical sticky notes, but like the stickies on Mac all over my screen. I'll have three screens, you know, a screen just covered in them, right? If they say this, I jump over here, especially when I'm, you know, working with a new company and I'm trying to build out a whole, you know, a whole thing of how we're going to say everything. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm gonna write out every single thing, then every objection, every question, every possible example I can use is in a little different sticky note so that I can reference that. Because if you're trying to come up with a leading statement before a question, you're just going to ask the question. You're going to forget the leading statement absolutely every time.
100%. You've got that question. You're like, well, my mouth is moving now. How do I transition this? This is what I want to say.
Between what I'm saying and where I'm going. Yep, exactly.
And that's when, yeah, I've just said some truly strange things. And you just like, you're like, I'm just going to stop talking because that's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah. I'd love to say that hasn't happened to me in the last 5 years, which a few months ago. So I can definitely appreciate that.
Totally. It happened to me the other day, and you can almost like see the words leaving your mouth, and you're looking at them like, I wish I didn't say that.
You almost want to hang up and say, I'm so sorry. Just email them. You know what? I apologize. I didn't eat lunch.
You deserve better. I'm just going to hang up on myself for you.
I'm going to have somebody else call you back.
Yeah, totally. All right. So assuming that we primed them with the leading question or the leading statement, we asked the open-ended question to sort of get them on topic.
Yep.
What's next?
Ideally, you've asked the right question. So you've listened this whole time. They've given you feedback. You were using a really smart introduction. So you're making sure you're targeting the right people. I mean, before that, you go all the way back to your lead list and make sure you're targeting the right people. You should now be able to find their hot button, right? You should know what it is that they want, what they need. What is their pain? I like to call it a hot button because you can push it a lot of times. If you have a pain, you think of like digging your finger into their wound. It's not cool. Yeah. I like to help people. I don't like to hurt people. So I think of it as a hot button. So if you can push their hot button over and over again, it's like, I can dive really deep. I can start to understand, okay, why is that an issue for you? You know, is that something, did you get hired to solve that problem and now you're not solving that problem? Okay, this is a big deal for you. You probably feel like this is something we need to move on quickly. Great. Let's get on a call today. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, now I have a good idea of how long this is going to take. So I'd say, you know, that question should lead to answers that are going to guide you to a hot button or to disqualification. And that's another thing we're really afraid of in sales is like, well, every prospect is a good prospect. Every call should be an appointment, right?
Totally.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We want 100% conversion rate. Well, what about those people that we really don't want to sell to? What about those people that we really can't help? If you can't help them, you should figure it out by this point and say, thanks so much for your time. You know, keep in touch. That's it. And just move on. We're oftentimes afraid to say no to a deal before it even happens because we think, well, maybe if, right? And as an early BDR, did the exact same thing. Well, maybe if I just get this to an AE, maybe they can make it work. Or maybe we can solve that problem using a partner and then we can introduce our solution. You know what? That's a 6-month sales cycle for something that should be 60 days.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to work that deal.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure this is a bad fit, but I'm definitely sure that I want to hit my quota this week. So.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you worked in commission selling t-shirts and somebody came out in a t-shirt, two sizes too small. It's like, well, I think you should get 6 of them.
Yeah.
Like, what am I incentivized to say here? Of course.
Of course. Naturally. Yeah.
So I think if you can find the real hot button, actually figure out, okay, this is something we really can help them with, you know, great. Let's talk about that a little bit more. Yeah. Let's, if we haven't really fully qualified that they're like the decision maker, for example, that they have a budget, that this is an issue they're dealing with currently in their budgeting cycle, depending on if you're selling to enterprise, mid-market, that kind of thing. You really want to qualify them at this point and say, you know, obviously I called you out of the blue. If you could, you know, fix this problem overnight, would you? Or if you could fix this problem as quickly as possible, when would you want it done? And if they say tomorrow, great. Is that something you have to slate in your quarterly budget? Is that something you have to do X and Y with? Now, typical BDR are not going to ask that question, right?
No.
Not going to go that far. But if you are a single producer, somebody who's trying to both set their own appointments and close their own deals, you probably want to ask that because you don't want to schedule a half hour demo with somebody or a next step if
really it's not a priority.
Yeah. And if you've built rapport, again, you don't want to ask that question. If you haven't built any rapport and they don't like you, well, shut up, man. Like, just set the appointment. You're screwing yourself over here.
Yeah. And if they say, hey, this is, I do have pain, but you know, I don't have budget, right?
Yep.
Then it's like, great. I'm going to follow up with you in Q1 2018.
Well, yeah, it's two things, right? It's like, okay, how do we get budget?
Yeah.
Is there any way to get budget this quarter? If we could prove a business case to get you 10X ROI this quarter, would you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We take that to the CEO. We'd need to present something. Okay, cool. Well, let's talk about that on our next call. They said, look, there's literally nothing you can do till January. Perfect. I will talk to you January 2nd. Okay. Does that work for you? We'll be on the phone then.
I'm going to have your number dialed New Year's Eve. I'm going to hit
call. I'm ready.
I'm going to kiss my wife and then I'm going to call you.
That's right.
Yeah. So we've got the no man's land of all these sort of questions. How do we close this out?
Okay. This is the funniest thing. People forget to ask for the freaking appointment. Right? People forget to ask for the sale all the time, but it's not really they forget, they're afraid. You shouldn't be afraid to ask for an appointment. If you've had a 2 to 5 minute conversation with somebody and they're not, you know, hanging up on you and they don't sound angry, just ask them for an appointment. You know, so there's a lot of ways you can transition this. In fact, in the download I'm going to give these guys, there's 3 different ways that I write it out. You can do it 1,000 different ways. You know, generally my favorite way is something like, you know, this is great. I really appreciate your time. You've been super helpful. It sounds like there's reason for us to continue the conversation, but obviously I called you out of the blue. When's a good time, Thursday or Friday? You have your calendar in front of you. I'm super casual, so I do a little bit of the stutter. I'm like, Thursday, Friday work for you? Okay, cool. Let's find some time. But that's just my style. I think the same thing is true for anybody of any style. It's just, okay, clearly I interrupted you. I only asked for 2 minutes. You gave me five. Thank you. Let's move this to a calendar invite. What works for you? Mm-hmm. Being specific there is important, which we often forget. If you were asking for an appointment, we just say, do you have time to talk about this sometime? Do you have half an hour? We could talk about this again. We'll talk about this again. No, I don't want to talk about this ever again. I want to talk about the next step. Mm-hmm. I want to go further with the conversation. So it does. I mean, still language matters over and over and over again, especially in this kind of, it's just verbal cues. You're not doing video calls with these people. So you can't see how their body is reacting to this. It's all verbal. So you need to be very careful with your language to get a very specific result. So give them a couple of options, and it's not to corral them. It's not to force them to do something. It's just, now they can more easily choose between two variables or two options. Mm-hmm. If you said, do you have time? Well, I mean, yeah, eventually they have time, like after Christmas. I mean, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, they got some time. It's kind of a dead zone for sales. Sure, yeah, I mean, you can call me then. Yeah, but did you really want to set the appointment out till Christmas? No, like you really want to set the appointment tomorrow.
Totally.
You want your sales manager to be really impressed with you, that how quickly you can get those appointments in. So again, specificity is really helpful there, but just ask for the stinking appointment. Just, you know, like, hey, this makes sense. We're having a good conversation, but you didn't expect me to call. Let's talk again.
It's the polite thing to do, right?
Yeah, it really is.
I asked for 2 minutes, right? I honestly think we can help. And if it's 10x, like you say, you know, you're doing them a disservice by delaying the benefits of your product or service.
Yeah. And if they're looking for a solution and you're the solution again, yeah, like you said, you're hurting them and yourself.
Mm-hmm. Totally. That mindset thing. And then again, I'm guessing you're totally unscripted about this. You just sort of free for all, yeah, whatever comes to the top of my mind to go for the close, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I can usually tell, like, look, I'm not going to ask for the appointment right after they answer a question. Like, I'm going to give them some feedback. Like, oh, that's great. Yeah. I remember a time when we helped X, Y, and Z company do this. And oh man, it was great. Their results really spoke for themselves. I'll send you over something, but you know, obviously we've been talking for a while here. Do you want to, let's just schedule something up for next week. Mm-hmm. Slip it into the conversation. Don't make it like, hey Colin, most VPs of sales that I talk to have this problem. How are you dealing with that? Okay, that's great. Why don't we have a conversation about that next Thursday? Like, just don't be so stinking weird about it. Think about if you were them, how would you want to have somebody ask you for an appointment?
Yeah. And it's got to sound natural.
Yeah. Practice. Yeah. Please, by all means, practice this. You're going to suck at it a lot at the very beginning. This is why I love tools like Connect and Sell. I harp on them a lot because I just got to try them, got excited about them, because you can have so many more conversations. And if you're a brand new BDR, SDR, ADR, GGR, whatever you want to call it, like if you're brand new, you need that volume of conversations to figure out what the heck am I going to say on this call? Because it is custom to you. It really depends on how you speak. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm a big fan of, you know, at least volume at first, at least call volume at first. If you feel like, oh, I really want to master email. Great. Figure that out. Take a course on it. I don't care. You know, I do a lot of email training. But if you can't have an actual conversation with another human being about your product or service, if you can't tell somebody at a coffee shop what you do, you suck at sales. That's just a fact. You need to be able to explain it to a human with your voice. So I'd say practice it.
Totally agree. We spent a couple hours earlier this week running through that before Peter went and jumped on and made all those calls.
Good. Yeah. It's just, I mean, just give them some variables, right? Like, let's just play around. Oh, if I'm really tough on you, what do you say? It sucks to be the salesperson on the phone when somebody really tough comes on after having a bunch of nice people.
Totally.
You're caught totally off guard. It's like, all right, but if my manager threw me that variable and a test and I wrote down what happened and what didn't work and what could work, I've got that on my sticky note. I'm good to go. Like, oh, you're going to be tough with me? This is what I'm going to say to you right here. I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, you feel a lot more confident.
I got this.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally. So we've practiced, we've run through your steps, we've done some practice, we've got the meeting booked. Last sort of question.
Yeah.
What, you hang up the phone, you just wait, hopefully they show up. What's next?
Yeah, so I did an onboarding manual for like pretty much every company I've been with or worked with over the last few years, because here's a step that everybody forgets and I don't want to have to explain it to them twice ever. I don't want to explain this to anybody twice. It's so basic. All right. If you send them a calendar invite, okay, include the details of the call, something that's relevant to them, what happened. And then the day before the appointment, if it's in the morning of the next day, so the day before, send them a quick email. And I literally use a template every single time because I don't want to screw this up. Hey, John, great talking to you the other day. Looking forward to our call tomorrow at 5 a.m. Does that still work for you? Thanks. That's it. I don't want to add in any templates or any crazy, oh, here's an attachment, 6 calls to action. Like, you already got the appointment. Don't screw this up. Like, does that still work? And 99% of the time I'm okay. Obviously I'm not, I didn't actually get that statistic. That's made up. But the vast majority of the time I get somebody to either respond yes or simply to say, oh, you know what? I totally forgot. This just came up. Can we reschedule for the following day, same time? It's so much better to know ahead of time, especially as a busy account executive, as a busy, you know, head of sales or whoever's doing the actual selling. You want to know if they're going to reschedule on you before they reschedule on you. You can take care of that at the end of your day. So if it's the next day in the morning, send the email in the afternoon of the day previous. Okay. If it's in the afternoon, send it that morning. Just say, hey, looking forward to talking today at 4 p.m. Does that still work for you? That's it. Thanks. Signature. You're good to go. And you're going to get a response. You're going to get them to either hold the appointment or tell you to reschedule. The people who don't show up, most of those people didn't want to talk to you to begin with, and they weren't really serious about it. Mm-hmm. So if you're using Google, if you're using Outlook, you can generally see if they've accepted the invite. That's always a good indicator. But if it's more than like 3 or 4 days out, you got to remind them. Mm-hmm. Clicking yes, I'm going does not count 5 days later. It's really helpful if you can do kind of that personal outreach. Yes, there's systems that will automate it. Yes, there's ways to, you know, pre-trigger those or whatever using Gmail, like a notification 10 minutes beforehand.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. But don't they want to hear from you? Don't they want to be excited to talk to you? So
you're the one that booked the call.
Exactly.
Yeah. I send the invite, the meeting invite with all the details. And then I also send an email with that, because when you send an invite, if your prospect is using Google Priority Inbox, it goes into the updates tab. And the number of times I've missed things because I'm just looking at my primary. I don't really check my updates that frequently. And somebody said, hey, you know, can we do this? Can we move that? And I'll be like on the call waiting for somebody. So that's one sort of technical tip.
Yeah.
It's just like,
sure,
send the invite. And then it's totally polite to also send a real email.
Yeah.
With the same details. Like, does this work for you?
So yeah. And one thing I'd suggest, if you're going to do the invite with minimal details in terms of like, okay, how do you access it? Hey, thanks for talking to me. Here's where we're going to join the call. If you're going to send a second email, the second email should be more detailed. It should be, hey, just as a quick reminder, you mentioned these 3 pain points. Here's, you know, a quick case study, or here's a link to something that talks about that. Or here's a video I mentioned to you on the call. Again, any of these things you should be writing down, you should be taking notes from it and saying, okay, if I told them I'd do something, I need to do it before that appointment. Because they need to know that I'm trustworthy. I'm going to show up. I'm going to be ready. And then send that in the email. That's the ideal thing to do, is kind of separate those 2 pieces of content, the invite from the email. If it's, you know, pretty basic, I don't always send 2 emails, like an invite and an email. But I always do send the kind of the pre-meeting checkup as a manual email, rather than sometimes I'd have people who tell me, hey, why don't you just go in there, like add an extra space to the subject line in the actual invite. So like on Gmail or Outlook, you change it and it just says send update to all in, you know, all parties. Yeah. Cause then they have to accept it again. Like, okay. But then they're just going to be confused.
Totally.
What really changed? Did the time change? Did the link change? You know? Okay, sure. I just like talking to people. So I'll send them the actual email myself.
Right on, man.
Yeah.
So you've got a little bit of a visual for us takeaway, because, you know, obviously we're walking, talking, driving,
yep.
You know, hopefully, you know, maybe watching on YouTube if you are, how do we like remember this process? You got a takeaway for us?
Yeah. So if you go to RexB, so it's REXB as in boy .co/predictable, there's a place where you can download my full guide. I mean, it's step-by-step, it's pretty detailed. And I'll be sure to include a visual here. So you can see every little bit of detail, and then at the very high level, you can print it out and put it on your wall. Mm. You know, I used to do a lot of these. I do like a graphic image of basic instructions. I had a team where they didn't know how to use hotkeys, right? They're brand new to like using, for crying out loud, I just thought hockeys were so obvious, like Command C is copy, Command V is paste.
This is a whole other podcast episode, but yes. I 100% agree. If you're not using hotkeys, you're wasting your time.
Yes. So I created this image and my whole team saved it as their background on like their wallpaper on their computer. So they always remembered it. So if you really want to take the image, download it, put it as your wallpaper, I would be more than happy. If you send me a screenshot, like I'll give you a shout out somewhere, cause that's really cool.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. So I'll be sure to include a visual there, but it's got full detail breakdown of everything we talked about, even examples under each section.
Right on. Cool. Well, thank you, Rex. If people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way?
Yeah, it's just rex@rexb.co, or you can just go to the website and submit a form on there.
Sounds great. Thanks for coming on the show, man. Learned so much today. This was awesome.
Absolutely. Thanks, man.
All right. Thank you. One last thing before we go, I'm going to do the hand on the doorknob trick with this sales guy. One thing we'd love to hear from our viewers, our listeners, if there are guests that you want to hear on the show, if there are topics you want us to talk about, if you want me to talk in a slightly lower tone or whatever, just shoot me an email, Colin, C-O-L-L-I-N @predictablerevenue.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks again, Rex.
All right. Thanks, guys. Yeah.